Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to stand down in front of you today, but I have a few things that I need to read from, and I can't do that if I stand there, so I'm going to stay here for now. I only have a short time. Usually when preachers say they don't have as much time, it's just the right amount of time for the people listening. So, praise God. I have a lot of things planned. I'm going to try to work within the same time, so let's pray together. Our blessed and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together of worship. We thank you for Gracie and for her conviction and sincerity in preparing the songs and leading us today, and for all of the music worship team, and we thank you for their youth, for their potential and for the people that they are. And we thank you, Lord, for our church that is filled with young people. We thank you, Father, for the purpose that you have for their lives. And I pray, Lord, that the things that I say are understandable for them, and only you can do that. But Lord, it's not only the young, it's for the old as well, for the human person is equally willing to reject you at an older age as they are in a younger age. We are all the same. But Lord, you have given each one of us a purpose for being here today. And you have brought us here to learn what you have to say to us through your word. I pray, Lord, that the words that I say, imperfect as they are, Lord, would be used by your Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts of each one here today. And that we may go from here ready and willing, delighting in the word of the Lord and the law that you have given to us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Even though I don't have that much time, I'm still going to talk to you about everything that I had planned, but maybe a little revised. And just so you know where I'm going, we're going to be talking about this psalm, this great psalm, number one. And we're going to be talking about the book of Deuteronomy, which is in the beginning of the Old Testament, chapter 30. We're going to be talking about the man Daniel. You remember Daniel in the lion's den? We're going to be talking about him. And we're going to be talking about Robert Morrison. Robert Morrison was one of the greatest missionaries. Uncle Steve prayed for the missionaries. And Robert Morrison was one of the greatest missionaries that we know, especially meaningful to the Chinese people, because he was the first Protestant missionary to China. And we're going to be talking about Judgment Day and what we need to know before we get there. Okay, so let's get going. Turn to your Bibles, please, and keep them open. I'm going to be referring to these different sections here a lot, and I want you to follow along. This book of Psalms is a really good a book for me, because I'm a singer. And since I'm a singer, God has been telling me I should pay more attention to the Psalms. They're meant to be sung. And I really think that, you know, God is going to be teaching me a lot about the Psalms in order to edify this church. I think that each person is given talent for a reason, and they should use those talents in the best way. And oftentimes, we elude and go away from our talents and strengths and do things that we're not good at. And that's a good lesson for all of us. We need to know what we are capable of doing. We also need to practice the things that we're capable of doing. And that having been said, Psalm 1 is a song. And it's not only a song, it's something that is given to us as a blessing. It begins with the first word. It's called blessed. Do you remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the meek, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. This psalm begins the same way. It's a beatitude. It's a blessing for us. But it's also a blessing that teaches us something, how we are to be blessed and how we are not going to be blessed. So it's two ways. Okay. The first word is, blessed is the man. This should be a comfort to us. We all need comfort in this world, don't we? God is not a God who is teaching us the law and the things of the Bible so that we are the worst for it. He's teaching it to us so that he may comfort us. that he may teach us things that are good for us to benefit from, so that our lives would reflect his glory and his love, and that we can be loving and bless others with this great love that he teaches to us. So keep that in mind as you read through this psalm, okay? Blessed is the man, what? Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So the first time is walk, or stand in the way of sinners. The next part is stand, or sit in the seat of mockers. The Bible is meant to teach us things in a practical way so that we can understand them. And so the psalmist is trying to teach us in a very practical way what we are not to do. We are not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. We are not to be around people that are wicked. Don't follow the things that wicked people tell you to do. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Doesn't mean don't stand in their way when they walk by. It means don't be in with sinners. Right? Don't be around these kind of people. Okay? Or sit in the seat of mockers. There are a lot of people who don't acknowledge God. There are people who make fun of God. There are people in your schools today who make fun of prayer, that make fun of our God, Jesus Christ. God is saying, don't be around these people, and don't listen to them. Don't walk with them, don't stand with them, and don't sit with them. Don't spend your time around these people. Okay? If you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, you will not spend your time around these kind of a people. And I have to tell you that we as Christians oftentimes like to share our time with God. We like to share our lives with God. He will not be shared with wicked people. He will not be shared with mockers. He will not be shared with sinners. We must decide between our God and the life that he expects us to lead and that other kind of life. There are two ways, and you must decide. Don't try to share God and a Christian life with the way of sinners and mockers and evildoers. It will not work. God will not accept it, and you cannot be effective, and you will not be blessed. God expects all of us. He wants all of us. He will not be shared. And that's what his law says. That's what his law says. His delight, this person who is blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. And this is a very important thing for us to pay attention to here. Delight. Not just do it. Right? Oftentimes we do what we're told, but we don't like it. God is saying, blessed is the man who not only does the law and follows my ways, but he delights in them. And this is something that we need to think about today. How is your relationship with God? Are you coming here today because you have to? Or should you begin to start to think about coming here because you delight in coming here? You delight in the God who we worship. You delight, you take joy in being here with other Christians and giving praise to God. God is going to teach us a little bit about what that is today, the law, and what those things are that we must delight in. He goes on to say that he is a person, again, a person who does not live with wicked people, does not spend his time and share God with these wicked people and all those other things, right? He doesn't share this life as a Christian and try to do both at the same time. And a person whose delight is in the law of the Lord and what the Bible teaches us, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This is a very important word for us, prospers. Prosper comes out in the Bible time and time again. Okay, I looked it up. It means to be successful or to be well off. And we think of in terms, when I think, if you ask me what well off means, that means that you have a lot of money, have a nice big house, lots of material things, but that's not what it's talking about when God talks about prospering. Okay, the Bible teaches us value in things that do not perish, that do not pass away, that don't have little meaning. He talks about things that are eternal. He talks about things that last forever, and the truth endures forever. Okay? So you, if you choose and you are wise, then you will be like the man who does not walk in this way with the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You will be like a tree that gives fruit in season, and that's what trees do. They give fruit in their season. Not every single day, but God nourishes us with that water like a tree, and he cares for it, and it's nourished, and it grows, and it grows, and then at the right time, it bears fruit. That's the way a person is who listens to his law and delights in it. And whatever he, and the leaf does not wither, it does not pass away, it doesn't die. We have to understand as Christians that we believe that we will, if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will not pass away, we will not wither. This is one of the wonderful messages of the Bible that God has given to us, that we will not die. We will not just pass away. Whatever he does, whatever this man or woman does, who lives in the way that it's described here, will prosper. Okay? It goes on then, we're going to leave this in a moment. I just want to point this out before we continue. Not so the wicked. Not so the wicked. This is the other way. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. They're not like a leaf that grows on a tree that stays, right? It's like the chaff. Did you ever see a tree where the little things that hang off and they make you sneeze? Like the pollen that flies around and it just... That's the way a person is who doesn't believe in God the way it's written here, who doesn't delight in the law of the Lord, who spends his time hanging around with people that sin and do things that are unpleasant in the Lord's sight. So you're just like that. Gone. You don't stay. Your life is like that. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. They will not even stand there in the judgment. They won't even get that far. There's going to be a judgment day, but they won't even get that far. They won't be in the assembly of the righteous. They will not be with those people who are righteous before the Lord. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We're living in a world today where people want it both ways. They want to go to church, and they want to sing songs and praise God, and then they want to go home and do things their own way. And God is saying, I'm sorry, but that's just not going to happen. You may think it's going to happen, and you can have my eternal heavenly being and all of the things that I've promised to you and to those who really believe in me, but it's just not going to be that way. So if you really want to know what the truth is that endures and lasts forever, then you need to do what is said here. Okay, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm like my professors at school. They're going, I've got 10 minutes to talk about Genesis, the whole book of Genesis. I guess I could go through it in 10 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to point some things out to you then, and you're going to have some homework, all right? Sorry, but Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is something that God has been bringing back to me time and time again. This is the whole thing that we've been talking about in the renovation of the heart in Crew. It's all about loving God from your whole heart, your whole soul, your mind and strength, everything in us. He wants the whole thing, okay? And this is the chapter he speaks about that most in Deuteronomy, okay? Let me just point out to you, it's going to reinforce what we just heard in the psalm. In verse 11, it says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. So young people and older people, this is not too difficult for you, he's saying. Okay, God is saying, this is not too difficult. Oftentimes we feel like, this is too difficult. This is too high. Well, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy says that the Lord says, it's not too difficult for you to understand. Okay, it's not beyond your reach. He goes on to say in verse 12, it is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. You see, God is a very practical God. He made us with bodies and minds and souls and beings so that we can fulfill his purpose. We are supposed to see every part of ourselves as being his and belonging to him. And it's not something that we just go to school to learn about. It's something that we learn when we open his word. And then he goes on in verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. He's saying the same thing that the psalmist mentioned in Psalm 1. There are two ways. There is life and prosperity, or there is death and destruction. And we just learned how a person can achieve life and prosperity, and how one can also achieve death and destruction. If you have time to read through that entire chapter, I encourage you to do so. I won't do that today, okay? I want to read to you from one book that is really wonderful on the Psalms. It's by Arthur Weiser. He was a German theologian, and what he says about the delight that one takes in the Word of God, he says it is from the total behavior of a man who fully responds to the will of God, okay? The total behavior of a man who fully responds to the will of God, just like it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians, that you pray constantly, not just time to time, but you pray constantly, right? Expressing the Christian's attitude of mind concerning prayer, that the delight in the law of the Lord springs in all its fullness, for that behavior imparts to man's life the meaning and value which is ordained for it by God. If you want to find true meaning in your life, if you want to find what life is all about, if you want to know what God has ordained you for, then you must understand that you must give all to Him. It is not just a part of yourself, it is all of you. And if you're like me, that hits me right here, because I fall short of it. But God is calling us today to take these words seriously, take them to heart, and to realize that through His help, by the reading of His Word, we are going to become like trees that are planted by streams of water, and He is going to nourish us and give us the things that we need to grow. Not only grow, but that we are going to understand more and more about how great He is, and we're going to let go of all those things that once had a hold on our lives and that were so important to us, but in the end have no meaning and lead to death and destruction. That's an awesome idea. The man Daniel, I got a few minutes. The man Daniel, you remember Daniel when he went into the lion's den? Okay, you guys have been going through Sunday school and you've been learning these stories, and now you're at a time in your life where you need to apply those things to your lives. And Daniel is a fantastic example of a person who understood what it is to stay close to God and to meditate on His Word day and night. You see, he understood the importance of it so much that he was willing to risk his own life. He lived at a time where these people were jealous of him. They saw that he was gaining power in the government, and they wanted to bring him down. And so what they did was they said in the book of Daniel, if you want to turn to that, it's very powerful there, the chapter 6. Again, this is another chapter you can read later on to read about this story, since we don't have time. Okay? It says in chapter 6 of Daniel, right, in verse 4, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent, they could find no corruption in him. Because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent, he did not spend his time with the wicked. He did not stand or sit or walk with those that were against God, who were against our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not do that. He walked as one who believed that God was the all-powerful, mighty God who made him and who he must give his allegiance to. Okay? And finally, these men, it goes on to say, said in verse 5, finally these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Again, the law comes into view here. They felt if we're going to bring him down, then we're going to have to use his love for God and his allegiance to the law to bring him down, because otherwise he's just too righteous. And so what they did was they went to King Darius and they said, King Darius, we have a great idea. Let's make a law that says that anyone who doesn't bow down only to you is going to be thrown into the den of lions. And the king in his kingship decided, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. I like that idea. Everybody bows down to me, and nobody gets to bow down to anybody else. But he didn't think of his man Daniel, who he really cared about at that time. And like all the others, he probably figured, oh, well, Daniel will just, you know, bow down to me and give up his own God. But you see, the law of God was so implanted and so important, it was took over the whole being of Daniel, that when he heard that this law was being brought into being, he went exactly back down onto his knees 3 times a day and practiced the same thing that he had always practiced. Because of what? Do you know what the law says? Don't have any other gods besides me. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. And that's what Daniel remembered. And he knew that this was the good and faithful and trustworthy God that gave life to those who were true to him. And he understood that this kind of a prosperity that God was going to give to those who believed in him and followed the law completely with all their being and all their soul and all their minds and hearts, that they were going to prosper in ways that these people here on earth had no idea about. And so he said, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to pray down to God, because he is the real God, not King Darius. And even if it means that I'm going to be killed, so be it, because God is my God and I will obey him. You see, he understood the meaninglessness of this life without God, and that prosperity and truth that endures is found only in the law of the Lord. And so he went, and he was taken into the lion's den, and he was thrown in there. And overnight, he stayed in all night with these lions that were supposed to tear him apart. And the next morning, King Darius goes to the den, and he said, Daniel, are you still there? And he said, yes, the angel of the Lord was with me all night, and he closed the mouths of these lions, and I am still here. And so Darius turned around, and he said in some amazing words at the end of the chapter, when he heard that, first, he had all of the people killed that had tried to plot against Daniel. So the wicked who passed away just like the chaff were gone. That was what their desire for wickedness gained them. And then we read at the end of the chapter in Daniel, King Darius said, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For listen to this, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. That is what the Bible teaches us about God. He will live forever. And those who belong to him will prosper. And they will live forever. And that is what we must also believe. We must let go of the things of this world that drive us away from God, that pull our hearts away from him. And we must honor him with our total being. And that is what he deserves, because he is the greatest. He is the only God, the only true wise God. I'm out of time. Let me just tell you real quick about Robert Morrison. Robert Morrison was a young man. Let me tell you, you guys are young people, right? And oftentimes you feel like you're not able to do things, and in the church we look down on you and things like this. But let me tell you, give you a little bit of a challenge. Robert Morrison memorized Psalm 119 when he was 13 years old. Do you know how many verses are in that? How many? 176 verses. 176 verses. He spent his time memorizing Psalm 119 when he was 13. He was not a perfect person. He didn't have his life together, but God was forming him for one of the greatest works that anyone has ever done. His formation began at your age. His formation began at this young age, and that's why it's important that you understand that being in this church and being around people who are teaching you about the Word of God is exactly where you need to be. Robert Morrison went on, and he struggled and struggled with his life and what he was doing, and he struggled with his sin, and he realized that Jesus Christ was the only answer for his life, and so he committed his life to Christ. And from that point on, he began to pray for God to use him. He began to look on and to be pulled in the direction of saving those who didn't know Jesus as their Savior. And all the people around him began to guide him in this way, and they saw what he had to say. And his wife, who wrote his memoir, and all these things that I'm reading about him, said that his whole being was consumed with Jesus Christ and serving him. And his only fear was this, that he wouldn't do what God was telling him to do. that he wouldn't go when he was called to go. So shouldn't we also feel that way? Shouldn't we feel like he did, that we have a fear that we're not going to use our lives that God has ordained us with, that God has given to us for his glory so that other people will be saved and they will hear the good news that we know? That's the meaning of life. That's the meaning of life. That's prosperity. Those are the things that we go for. Those are the things that we're living for. You think you're born to be a fireman or an opera singer or something like that? Yes, perhaps that's your vocation. But God is calling us, when we know about this great, the truth that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are called to rise above that and to spread the gospel. And so he went to China. Robert Morrison died in his early 50s. You know, he was one of the first people to translate the Bible into Chinese. He spent his life, he poured his life into translation of the Bible into Chinese so that people would understand it, so they would have it in their hands, so that they could read the law, so that they could understand what they needed to change in their lives, so that they would be able to understand the things that God was trying to say to them. And so he poured himself into that, and that's what he did. He also he created and wrote a dictionary, an English-Chinese dictionary. He wrote all kinds of pamphlets and different kinds of literature so that the Chinese people in all different parts of China would be able to read what God was trying to say to them, that they would be saved. Why does a person do that? Because he is convinced that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior, that Jesus Christ is the one who has given us our life to begin with, and it is Jesus Christ who is going to prosper us because of our obedience to him. And he is also convinced that if anyone does not know these words and does not have the chance to hear these words of the Bible, that they are going to perish. We are responsible to each other. We are not responsible to ourselves and only to ourselves as we often live. We need to give up our selfish ways. We need to think beyond ourselves and think, what is best for my fellow man? What is best for my brothers and sisters here in the church? But far more great honor would be to go where they have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach his gospel. Those are the things that God are looking for in all of us, and those are the things that we can do with his strength and his love. The last thing I would just say to you is to remind you that we are going to be facing God on Judgment Day. If we read these words, and we can delight in those words, the Judgment Day doesn't have any fear for us. I do not need to be afraid of facing God and talking to him on that day. I have only reason to be joyful. But if I do not live the way he wants me to, if I do not the other way, and I choose the other way, and I go my own way, then God will not even invite me to that day to be with the righteous. My life is over, and I am just like chaff that is cast into the wind. So let's all determine today in our hearts and set our minds on Jesus. Set our minds on Jesus. Pastor Lowe has given us the theme for our church, truth and life. And Jesus Christ is the truth, and he is the life. So let us set our minds on Christ and live forever. Let us set our minds on spiritual prosperity and forget about money and all the things that drive us into temptation and that seek the ways of the wicked. Let us put those things behind us and center each other on the Christ, the one who died and rose again and gave us life eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your name. We lift you up and ask you, Lord, to change us, change our hearts. Help us to sing songs that give you glory. But Lord, help us to be able to sing with all of our being and not to hold one inch back. Help us to be like Daniel, who risked his life and was saved and prospered, Lord, because you looked down on him and you honored him for his allegiance to you. We thank you, Lord, for Robert Morrison and for his example, for putting his own life behind him and going and teaching the Chinese so that they would also hear about the Jesus that we praise and honor today. We thank you for those examples, and we pray, Lord, for your word today to reach into the hearts of those here, that we may be like Daniel, so that we may be like Robert Morrison, but most of all, that we would live lives that are exemplary of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.